Well, you can be seated or you can stand up, you can run around the building. Whatever you want to do. You know, Miss Dixie, I didn't say it just a minute ago, but Brother Ivan told me after we went and ate lunch Sunday after church that he had never been in a service that he could recount where children came up like that and got saved. He said he was really taken by it. He says, this really blows me away. And I said, well, we're getting ready to have a vacation Bible school next week. And so God's just getting it all prepared. There was just a few extras we needed to get herded in right quick before they, you know, got away. They might not have been there next week or something. So the Lord grabbed them. So, man, I think that's a good sign for what's coming. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out. I just am hot to trot to preach something to you tonight. And I mean, I got it on fire. And thank you, Jesus. Go for it, Biggin. Ah, there you go. Oh, it was so cool. The little boy, what was his name, Dusty? Comes up, heard this ching. Ching, ching, ching. And I was like, what is it? His little spurs on. I was like, yeah! That's the kind of boy I want to see. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, this message tonight is just a revision, but I got a new title, so that's what's exciting. So I just get a new title, same old message, turn it around and preach it all again. Y'all don't know, but this is a good one. Okay, how many times in life, this is a country saying, I probably could never preach this except to you, you know, you guys, find me a good country church somewhere, but how many times have you ever heard, you ever said in conversations about, he ain't got no sense, right? I mean, we've said that over and over, you know, and we're not talking about, well, in this sense, you know, we're not talking about change, right? He's got no sense. He only got dollars. Now we're talking about, you know, maybe he's not doing something so intelligently, so smart, you know, foolishly, whatever, right? And so I've been preaching this message about sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge, and I'm calling it sense knowledge. At first I was calling it sense knowledge because, you know, it's the information you've gained in your life through your five senses, right? But then I got to thinking about most of the time if you said, and so this is going to just change with us in our lingo now. If you say, well, he ain't got no sense, that would be a bad thing, right? In the way we'd look at it. But actually, I don't want to have any sense. I've come to the place where I want them to say about me, man, he ain't got no sense. He just walks by revelation. You see what I'm saying? That's a good thing if you look at it from the perspective I'm preaching it. He ain't got no sense. He just walks by revelation. Because so many times, ever since I started preaching this, I cannot read my Bible that I just don't see another, you know, like another example, another example, another example. It's like the whole Bible has opened up to me in a different realm of every time I read about, you know, have the mind of Christ, what it really means to have the mind of Christ, not just to say, oh, well, he's got the mind of Christ. What do you mean he got the mind of Christ? You talk about the mind, you took his brain out, put it over here. What does he mean he's got the mind of Christ? Well, what I'm going to show you tonight is about the way Jesus looks at things, okay? So, you know, to start off, we can look over at Proverbs chapter 3. And a familiar passage of Scripture, and y'all forgive me for being on my iPhone. I got it down. I wrote it down on my phone, and then I can't make it transfer to my iPad, so I'm not really looking at my... Yeah, I am. I'm looking at my phone. Problem is, I got to hold it way down here. Okay, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, familiar passage of Scripture, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And what's the next thing say? Lean not to your own understanding. In other words, let's just put it in the sense that I'm preaching this message. Don't have sense knowledge, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have revelation knowledge. You know, don't lean to your sense knowledge or what seems to be the, you know, I don't even want to call it the natural. Because you see, Jesus didn't ever look at things natural. He goes up, 5,000 people. He said, well, y'all give them something to eat. Since knowledge takes over 5,000 people, let's see. Well, if each person got two slices of bread, can't you see everybody just broke out their iPhones and put it over their little calculator and see two slices of bread? How many loaves are we going to have? Right? I mean, wouldn't you? Okay, well, if we put those two slices of bread, then we bought that bologna, the big deals of bologna right there, you know, and had individual pieces, and everybody got individual pieces, and we're going to have 4,000 packages of bologna, and, you know, I mean, right? That's what you would do, because that's the normal way of this natural world thinking. But Jesus, he's not insane. He's just not thinking on the world human level. He's not thinking by sense knowledge. He's not, I mean, just think about this. Jesus gained his knowledge from sitting at the foot of his Father. So when he's looking at something the same as if you walked into a primitive village today and they were over there, had them a cart that had square wheels on it. And they were all cold and freezing, you know, and you sat down there and you broke out a lighter and lit them a fire. And they're like, oh, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I mean, that's what Jesus was doing to the disciples, but he's like, what do you mean? I'm just walking by revelation. I'm not walking by sense. I wasn't hindered like y'all have been hindered to have to be born on earth. Right? I mean, think about that. You know, I just a few times in my life, I've traveled into a place to where the simplest thing that I had just impressed everybody unbelievably. Because, you know, it was just like they've never seen that, never have heard of that. Do you know in Guatemala, I'm going to freak them out. I'm going to make enough money that I'm going to load a ditcher on a container. And I want to send it to Guatemala. Because no one at the orphanage, even Yuri, our administrator, who's very knowledgeable, has ever seen a ditcher that digs a ditch. Because they always just get guys out there at those the little talaches and they dig them a ditch. So why do they need a ditcher? I mean, a mini excavator would blow their minds. I mean, really, I said, okay, when I laid down some lines, some water, I said, well, just get a ditcher. You know, we'll dig it around there. I'm like, what? What is that? I said, a ditcher. You know, it's has the wheel on it that turns, or a chain, and it digs in the turn. They're like, what are they? Do you have a picture? Can you, you know? I'm like, it's a ditcher. I don't know. That's the way Jesus is looking at it. Just like I was like to them, you don't know what a ditcher is? Jesus to them is like, feed the 5,000. You mean you don't know about multiplying bread? How much you got? Well, 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Well, look, this is what you do. This is a heaven. Father, thank you. Now go out there and pass it out. Y'all ever thought about this? Did the bread multiply in the basket? No, it couldn't have, because they couldn't have carried the basket. You know, like you see in the cartoons, you know, like you know, something happens and it's a whole bunch and it squashes the person, you know? That's what would have happened. The loaves would have overflowed. It's that they're out there carrying the basket and just walking over and say, here, take a piece. And so they pulled a piece out and they pulled another piece out and pulled another piece out and pulled another piece out. And he looks down and says, that's weird. There's still pieces. Okay, I know one of them did this. It's like, okay, I'm counting loaves. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, here we go. We're going to go there. That's down there. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You see, they had more left over when they started, so therefore something happened. So that basket got bigger. And we said, well, I just don't understand. I just can't believe it till I see it. Exactly. That's why you don't see it. Because you're dealing in sense knowledge. There's a whole other realm in revelation by operating under revelation knowledge than there would be sense knowledge. Right? Okay, look at another one here. Oh, I love this one. Look at Luke 7. 7:11. Now it happened, if you just flip through Timothy, and I want to read it off this thing because I can't see my phone. Now it happened that the day after that they went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, the dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Okay, so see this picture? She's got nobody but the dead son. Right? Okay, 13. Now when the Lord saw he had compassion on her, because I want to tell you something, why does James tell us that you're supposed to rescue widows and orphans? That this is the perfect ministry, right? Jesus walked into town, he saw the widow, he's like looking at this scene saying, oh, that poor lady, man. She's got nobody to take care of her. She's going to be all alone. She's weeping and crying. Normal kind of a funeral, right? There's weeping and crying and mourners and some just kicking rocks and all walking along. And a dead man in a coffin. Now, anybody who is operating in sense knowledge would say, poor widow, the best thing we can do is try to help her out. Maybe we can take up an offering for her. You know, maybe we can do something for her to help her. Maybe she can get a job downtown or something. Or, you know, we're going to have to watch out for her and all. But, you know, like I'm finding in Guatemala, when you're a widow, you're going to die. Bottom line. If you don't have somebody to help you take care of you, because life is too rough. Life is too hard. It's not like you've got a pension or you're going to go to the grocery store or, you know, whatever. If you're truly a widow, you have no family to take care of you, you're going to die. Because bottom line is you're going to get older. You can't go. What are you going to do? Go out there and, you know, you can't pick your corn. You know, they get to where they can't work and, you know, whatever. And so your life is going to be cut short and you're going to starve to death because there's nobody to take care of you. Right? So it's the same day as in the day of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus is looking at her. So let's go to 14. Then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Now, is that the freakiest thing you could have ever heard at a funeral? So he who was dead sat up, began to speak. Now, don't you know, everybody freaked out. There's a dead man in a coffin. And all of a sudden, everybody's just like, he's sitting up saying, I don't know what he said. Yeah. Hey, what's going on? It says he's in a coffin, and I don't know. I didn't study all of this out to give you all the exact details of what the coffin would have been or whatever, but just thinking about it, you know. Now they're carrying him in the coffin. He's sitting up talking. He's getting carried like a king. Yeah, he probably got dropped. They scattered. Boom, boom. All I'm saying is that everybody else is walking in sense knowledge because the guy's died, so they don't know what else to do. Put him in the grave and think what they can do for the widow. But Jesus walks up to the situation that looks impossible, looks catastrophic, looks horrible, and he just walks up. But by revelation knowledge, he has another thought than the sense knowledge of this world. He says, well, it's obvious what we need to do here. We need to raise this kid from the dead so he can take care of his mother. You see, it through the charismatic movement, we were always taught it was having great faith. But it's not really having, I mean, faith is involved, and I don't want to take away from that, but it's not really having great faith. It's having revelation knowledge of what the Word of God says that brings about the great faith. You see what I'm saying? That the faith would be the execution of it. But it has to start with changing what you're thinking. That's it. Changing the thinking to say, Lord, I don't want sense knowledge. I want revelation knowledge about this situation in my life. Okay? Let's look at one more here. Go to Luke 8:41. Gonna have to have a longer arm. Yeah, there you go. Have a phone holder. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. And he had only a daughter about 12 years old of age, and she was dying, but as he went, the multitude thronged him. Okay, skip down, Timothy, to whatever. Jump down, because I don't want to read about the woman. Yeah, go to 51. Okay, back up. Go to 50. 49. Now, while he was still speaking, someone came of the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Sense knowledge, your daughter's dead." Now, I don't want to take anything. I don't want to make those people out to be bad people. They're just operating in sense knowledge. I mean, they're not evil. They're just factually and being factual and sync and working in sense knowledge. Since your daughter's dead, now look at the next statement. Look at the next statement. Do not trouble the teacher. In other words, they had already figured it all out. She's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. Well, who are they to be saying what's troubling to Jesus or not? Are y'all with me? Who are they to be saying, well, let's don't bother Jesus? I mean, see, people are thinking it out to such a degree that they're stopping the power of God. Now, from what I gather from reading, it's going to 50. But when Jesus heard it, he says, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Go to 51. And so when he came into the house, so I've read all the accounts of this and looking at it, and you don't get to really see what the expression was, or really the thought was of Jairus, okay? I don't know if he melted. I don't know if he said, your daughter is dead, and he just melted, and he was speechless, or if he was about to say, oh, well, thanks, Jesus, for wanting to come to my house, you know, and just getting ready to walk off, or, you know, I can't gather it from the Gospels what he was. So, you know, it's all just speculation. But something happened because Jesus turned to him, and when he looked at him, he saw that he was starting to doubt, and he said, hey, don't be afraid. He must have saw the look on his face. Because he had to encourage him right quick. You see that, you know, Jairus didn't say, shut up and get out of here. I got the master with me. Everything will be okay. He didn't say that. I think he was waning in his faith. She said, hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. You see, again, Jesus looks at it from a different perspective. You can sit back and say all you want to and get religious on me and say, well, he was the Son of God. And, you know, he didn't. No. Bottom line is, he operated by revelation knowledge, and we operate by sense knowledge. So when a problem comes to us and a situation arises to us, if we look at it based upon sense knowledge, then what's going to happen is we're going to miss God. And what's even worse is we flip back to, what is it, 49 we were at? When he says, do not trouble the teacher, what happens to us is even worse is we begin to tell God he can't do it. We just begin to flat out right tell God he can't do it. So, if we're going to have revelation knowledge, and we're going to walk in that, well, then there's really no way to get revelation knowledge. I can't lay hands on you and impart to you revelation knowledge. If you read through the Proverbs, it says, seek wisdom. You know, search for her more than gold. Desire it more than anything in life. In other words, revelation knowledge is only going to come about by hunger. Okay? And I was writing this down. Holy Ghost prompted me to say this. Okay, revelation knowledge is only going to come through hunger. Okay? But hunger is only going to come through either desperation or desire. You're not going to get a revelation unless you're hungry to find it. And I'm not talking about a revelation like you understand what wormwood is and when it's coming. See, people get all goofy about that. I want to understand what it's like, you know, in the seven spirits of the seven eyes of God as he was, you know. And they go for this mystical, this is the revelation I want. What does it mean when he sat with a lamb's horn, you know? I'm like, dude, you can't even walk in just regular prosperity. Why are you talking about wanting the revelation of the... You can't even walk in forgiveness. Yeah, you with me? I mean, I'm just kind of practical because I kind of figure like, I mean, like, I guess, I don't know if it would do me any good or not if I knew the date Jesus was coming. I mean, I don't know what I'd do any different. Are you with me? But, I mean, I have to expect every day. It could be tomorrow, so I try to live today the best I can today because he may be here tomorrow. I don't want to rescue as many souls and touch as many people as I possibly can. So, you know, but I'm doing that because that's what I want to do. And so, I you know. So the revelation I want is the practical living. What do you do when sense knowledge is trying to overtake me? What do I do when I'm up against that mountain and I'm looking at it and saying, man, that's another Mount Everest and I can't climb it? What are we doing when you know you're faced with your everyday life situations and circumstances? Now, I got to tell y'all this, and we're good home folk here tonight and all, and because Brother Ivan would not want me to tell this, okay? But after church, we went out and we're riding around, and he gets a phone call. Now, you think, I mean, I don't want to put Brother Ivan way up on a pedestal or something like that, but I mean, of all the men that I've met in life, he is probably one of the biggest men of God I know. Because I know his life, I know how he lives, I know his family, I know how he eats, I know how he sleeps, I know how he handles his finances, I know how they pray, I know how they deal with all situations. And I'm really impressed. Okay? And so we're riding around, and so you think, I mean, he sits in this place and he does all this, you know, he'd never have any problems. Gets a phone call. His daughter Abby's in Australia. Okay, going to Bible school there at Hillsong. She works for the pastors and the ministry general. Got in a car with some guys that Ivan told her not to ride in a car with anybody in Australia. And she got in some cars with the guys. And the two guys got to arguing, got in a fight. The guy ran a red light and they were T-boned and almost killed. The police told them that if they'd have been 1 second faster or 1 second slower, they'd all been killed. Abby ended up with a concussion, ended up in the hospital. Her friend was taken to the hospital too. Bottom line is, I got to sit there with him while we prayed for his daughter, trying to get her calmed down. I mean, the wreck just happened. He's praying for her, take her on through there. And I was really impressed. You know what he said? Abby, listen. Listen to my voice, Abby. Everything is going to be okay. Stop now. Calm down, because she was hysterical. Listen to my voice. And he kept saying that over and over. Listen to my voice. He changed his voice, real easy tone of voice. Listen to your voice. This is your papa. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus is with you. Abby, just pray in tongues right now. Quit crying. Pray in tongues. That's what you need to do. And I watched him walk through this whole trauma, not knowing does his daughter have a concussion that, you know, is it brain situation, whatever, you know, not really knowing what's going on. The point is, he never got in sense knowledge. He stayed right in revelation knowledge, you know, talked his daughter through the situation, spoke the word of God, you know, we prayed. Hung up the phone, talked to his wife, got everything straight, dealt with everything. Point is, we're not going to have a perfect life where we have no problems. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big and powerful a man of God you are or how weak you are. There can always be problems. There can always be a situation, always be something going wrong. And we're not going to have victory in life if we don't walk in revelation knowledge. And the end of the story is, everybody in the car was spared. I don't know if the boys will be spared after Ivan ever goes to Australia, you know. We meant to pray a revelation knowledge over him so he don't kill both of them. But what are we going to do? We got a choice. We either are going to find revelation out of desperation because we're in a bad place, and we're drowning and we turn to God and cry out to him and get hungry enough to get a revelation, or we keep our own hunger by having a desire. We stir ourselves in our own hunger by having a desire, continual desire, saying, Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to understand more about you. Reading your Bible and finding situations and finding words that apply to your life and what needs to be with this or that or whatever's going on here or there. Or what, Lord, how do we do this and what do we do this and how do I handle this situation and what do we do about this? I mean, folks, that's the only way I've learned to live. I don't know any other way. I have a problem and I pray. I have a problem and I pray. And I pray about everything. You got to understand something. I pray about everything. I don't just pray about, you know, things that need prayer, like somebody's going to the hospital or somebody's sick or something's going on here or there like that. No, I'm talking about I pray over everything. Frank, I pray over all my subcontractors when we're building. I pray over everybody that's going to put it in the right place. I've even seen people put something in the wrong place, and I said, that's wrong. And then the next day, something changed, and it ended up being right. And I was like, huh, thank you, Jesus, for that. Because I just pray. I said, God, you got to order it. You got to prepare it. You got to make it. You got to do it. I don't know. I mean, I can't see in the crystal ball into the future, and you can. Y'all with me? It takes prayer over everything. But prayer by revelation, there's a big difference. I'm going to teach a series coming up sometime on prayer because you can't pray out of your head. You can't pray based upon sense knowledge. If you pray based upon sense knowledge, you're just going to be repeating to Jesus the problem. If you pray, Lord, I'm sick, heal me, you just repeated in sense knowledge what Jesus already knew. If you turn around and you say, Jesus, you died on a cross for me, and you said that by your stripes I'm healed, thank you for appropriating healing into my body. Now you're praying by revelation. It's completely different. You follow me? If you need financial, finances, and you say, oh, Lord, I just thank you. You're going to give me my daily bread. Thank you for my daily bread. You may get your daily bread, but you're going to be living one day at a time on daily bread. You follow me? But Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given to you, good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. See, I have a revelation that I'll be honest with you, I have not walked in it yet, but I'm gonna. Okay? And this is the revelation. The revelation was the Syrophoenician woman, she went to Jesus and she wanted healing, and he said, well, healing is the children's bread of Israel. And she said, yeah, but even the children's, the little dogs get to eat from the crumbs that fall from the children's table. She had a revelation about something big still had crumbs on it, and that the crumbs were enough for her. I have a revelation that Jesus is going to tap me in somehow to the crumbs that fall from huge companies who let millions of dollars fall to the ground, and it's going to come into my hands to rescue orphans. Okay? I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk in it. You say, it's crazy. How are you going to do that? I don't know. It's not my business. It's my business walking in revelation. It says, give and it shall be given, and your good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it's going to be, I want running over. Right? I don't want to check the checkbook. If somebody comes to me and says, look, I want to start a Bible school in Ethiopia, and I say, well, how much is it going to cost? And they say $50,000. I don't want to check the checkbook. Right? I don't want to have to balance a checkbook to the penny and then look at it to see how much I can give. I want it to be overabundance. I just say, okay, here, write the check. There it is. Actually, I want to have somebody with me that writes the check. I think that's cooler. You know, the assistant. Write that man a check for 50 grand. I don't know. That may be ego there. I just think that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. You know, the other day, it's a true story. But I need to tell you this true story. In the oil business, I heard this story the other day, and they're telling me that a mistake was made, and then the mistake was corrected, and the correction for the mistake cost them $400,000, the oil company. And they wrote back to the people who made the mistake and said, "I don't worry about it. We'll call it a non-event." I said, "A non-event? A $400,000 non-event? Yeah, we won't hold it against you. It's no big deal. It's a non-event. $400,000. So you got to stretch yourself, because we don't deal in those kind of dollars. In our lives, we don't deal in that kind of money. But I want to find out how it feels. You with me? I mean, like this widow woman that we just rescued down at the orphanage. I mean, that's not set in our budget to rescue a widow woman. You know? But I mean, who cannot do that? And to think about, I was telling Ivan, I said, just think about this. If Jesus in the Luke's gospel there, where we're just reading about Nain, he had compassion on the widow woman, he wanted to help her. Don't you know Jesus was wanting to help that little old lady? And that he was wanting to direct someone there to help her, to be able to feed her and do something for her, and that she can live out her days, even if she only lives another month. You know, at least she died happy and got saved. I mean, heaven is hers. It's the Lazarus story. You know, Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man comes and he said, "Well, you had your nice life. This guy, dogs are licking the sores on him." Had compassion on him. See, what I'm trying to tell y'all is, if you live in sense knowledge, you can say, "Well, I can only earn so much, or I can only do so much, or gosh, if I worked really hard and I worked some more hours and I got another job, or whatever, I went to school and, you know, became a NASA scientist and then shot a rocket up to the space." And, you know, I mean, folks, only in your sense knowledge, you're only going to make so much money. Right? And if you live in that sense knowledge, well, then you're going to be trapped. You limited your budget. But if you walk in revelation knowledge, I can walk in revelation knowledge with a penny. I mean, when I was so broke, I mean, I couldn't find nothing. There wasn't no change left in the seat cushions. We'd already got it all out. I would believe God every day to find money. And every day I'd find money. Every day I'd be walking along, I'd look down, there's a quarter. A couple of days I'd have enough money and I'd buy me a drink. Pick it up off the ground. I still to this day do it. I'm always looking for money to jump out. Did you hear the one about the guy that went in and ordered a burger at a burger joint, and when he pulled up and got his sack, picked up his deal, thought it felt kind of funny, set it down, drove off. When he stood there to get his hamburger, felt it didn't feel right, opened it up, $3,600 in cash in it. Somebody had given him the cash bag instead of the hamburger. Yeah, he took it back. Yeah, that's what you call a whopper. I don't know if that's what it was. That's it. So I'm just challenging you tonight, okay? We've got to have a desire to bring hunger, which means we've got to look at it. We've got to dig at it. We've got to get into the Word. We've got to look at our life and our situation. Just make it fun. Listen, folks, don't make it torturous. Make it fun. I've got a message coming up on how you sow to the Spirit. And fun. I have fun sowing to the Spirit. Okay? It's not, religion makes living for Jesus difficult. You know, Christianity, just being a good Christian and loving Jesus, can be fun. Okay? So if you're going to, what you've got to do is you need to ask right now, ask the Holy Ghost. Say, "Okay, Holy Ghost, where do I need some revelation knowledge? What am I walking in that I don't have any revelation knowledge?" And then just start listening. Okay. Listen to the radio. You say, "Oh, what do you mean the radio?" I'm telling you, God can leap out of the radio. and speak to you. Maybe one word, one phrase, one thing. You may not even be the station you were listening to. It may be on the change. See, I don't know if y'all like me. I play my radio like a piano. And I have to admit, I've gotten spoiled to Sirius radio. Came with my truck, and I'm spoiled because I can play 12 channels now. Okay? And I love it. I'm down the road, man, I'm playing da 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 da. I go back, you double click it, I get the different host stations, then I flip over to AM, then I go back through. I've got them all set. I'm all over the place. Because I'm about having an attention span about that long if I don't like the song. So it may be on the flip that you hear it. Start listening to what people say to you. Every source of information that comes to you, magazine, you know, whatever. Did you know, y'all don't think this is weird, maybe it shouldn't be recorded. The day before my wife found the alligator on our place, I ran across a man who had a pair of alligator boots on. And I was looking down at those alligator boots and I said, I said, you know, those look pretty cool. I ought to get a pair of alligator boots. And I started thinking about alligators. For 2 days, I thought about alligators. Then my wife calls up and says, we found an alligator down at the front gate. Now, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't get the message. You know what I'm saying? What I mean, but I mean, I was compelled to think about alligators. There was an alligator. First thing I said, is it big enough for me to get some boots? No. So, well, all I'm saying is you've got to listen to all these things. You've got to become sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. And what so-and-so said, and who and this, and what are they saying, how this working like this. You've got to get sensitive to it. And start listening. And it becomes fun to figure out what is that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to have a revelation of. Oh, it's that, okay. And then you get your Bible out. And you start to look, and you start to study. And you start to find the scriptures. And you start to get it in, and then you let him impart it into you. That's life. That's living life by revelation knowledge. Amen? Amen. Good stuff? Everybody going to do it? Okay, everybody say with me tonight, Holy Ghost, I want a revelation. I'm listening. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to get it. And everybody say, I ain't got no sense. There you go. Praise God.